morning. We are glad you're here today. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Coming off coming to the close of a 21-day fast. I hope that, until somebody's fasted, or either they're tired of hiding. A lot of that one, huh? No, I tell you, it's just a really great time every year. We start the year off giving God us first through that 21-day fasting and prayer. And we've seen God do some miraculous things, especially over the last year that we'll be talking about a little later in our family meeting. But we're glad you're here. I believe God has a word for us today that's going to help us and encourage us. And we'll be talking about God's vision today. God's vision. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. And that's just a little bit back from the New Testament. If you find Matthew and then go back to your left a little ways. It's not really in the middle, but a little left of middle. Habakkuk 2. And I guess if I'm going to preach on that, I need to go there too, huh? That would help. God is always placing His vision in our hearts, or at least attempting to. And He desires that our vision is His vision. You might say, well, that's impossible. God sees things so differently. No, God wants us to see through His eyes, through the eyes of Christ. He wants us to see His heart. And that's why He's given us His word, so that we can see His vision and His heart. Because as you look at this Bible, it's full of vision. It's full of God's vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet, for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Couple of things I want to break down and for us to see in this. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. God has, through Habakkuk, was writing, telling him, write the vision, make it plain, make it plain. So that those in the future will see it. So that those in the future, so that us, so that we here today, now, will have an assurance from me in the days when they are walking by faith. That was written for them then. It was written for us now. He wanted them to run with it and take it forward. And that's what he's telling us to do. That's what Habakkuk is saying. That he may run who reads it. That he may run who reads it. Now that doesn't mean whoever runs can read it. What he's saying there is, it means that when someone reads the vision, they can run with it. They can take it and run. You see, the vision is kind of like directions, like similar to a road map. We need to know where we're going. Amen. And what the course is supposed to look like. You see, the one who reads it is to run to tell it forward to others, to be a messenger of God's vision. I'll give you an example of trying to run and not knowing where you're going. You know, if you are trying to go, picture yourself in a car and you're just trying to go somewhere you've never been before. And you've never looked at the directions. You don't know what the road looks like. You don't know what the vision is that you're taking and going through. And of course, you GPS it in your phone or tablet or whatever. But you're trying to drive and look at that at the same time. Or listen to Siri, who really messes you up sometimes. And it's not easy, is it? It's like, you know, stop and go, stop and go. God says, see the vision. Write it. Make it plain so that whoever reads it can run with it. They don't have to stop and look back, stop and start and go. They can just run with it and take it forward. I almost entitled this, Don't Be Like the Israelites. Because, you know, as you read the Bible, it's the story of God's people. And they were like that. They were like on track, off track. On track, off track. In trouble, out of trouble. Messing up, doing good. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Yeah. It wasn't just held to the Israelites, was it? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he says, I run like this, not with uncertainty. And then he went on to say, I fight not as one who beats the air, just swinging wildly and hitting nothing. He says, and he goes on and talks about discipline and knowing what to do. And then in verse 11 there in that same chapter, it says, now all these things happened to them. I'm in 1 Corinthians now, so just stay where you're at. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Admonition. You know what that means? It means counsel, advice, or caution. Or sometimes all three at the same time. Counsel, advice, and caution. He said, these things have been written down. This is in the New Testament told. All these things have been written down for our admonition, for our counsel, for our advice, for our caution, so that we can run with vision, run with God's vision. Another reason I believe Habakkuk, God gave him this prophecy, is because people like shortcuts, don't they?
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
We like shortcuts. What's the easiest, shortest, simplest, less resistant route, right? Now, sometimes that can be good in business or in practical means, but that doesn't wash with God. God doesn't encourage us to take shortcuts. God doesn't give us shortcuts. We prefer the path of least resistance, the path of least responsibility. The least sacrificial path, right? You know, and sometimes we're so anxious to run without knowing where we're running to. And we're so anxious that we don't take time to read the vision. So that we'll know how, why, when, and where to run. See, we want to run with our own vision rather than God's vision. Why? Well, because our vision is definitely going to be a shortcut, right? We're not going to take the long way around. You know, we're not going to take the rough road. We're going to look for the smooth road. That's our nature. He says the vision there in verse 3 is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. Now, I got a question for you. Who here likes waiting? Let me see your hands. Oh, you didn't understand. Let me see. Who likes waiting? Let me see your hands. That's what I thought. No hands. We don't like to wait. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. He says the vision, when God gives a vision, it's for an appointed time. And yet sometimes we get the vision and we see it and we say, okay, now, boom, and there we go off. And sometimes we're off the cliff, right? Or in the ditch, or just into the wall with our forehead. You see, when God gives a vision, it is for His appointed time. It's not in our timing. He says, when it tarries, don't quit. Don't quit, because it's going to come. It's going to come. Now, who knows God's timing is best? Well, maybe a third of us. Will you tell the rest of them that God's timing is best? God's timing is best. He says in Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This is Heart Cry Chapel's appointed time. This is our season for His purpose to be fulfilled. So we have to read. We have to read the vision, and we have to run. But it's important. It's important to understand something. It's important to understand the context of the word read here. Yes, it means read. Read the vision. Obviously, he said write it, so it's plain on tablets. But read, the word, the context goes much deeper there for read. Because we often read something, and we forget it, right? Or we forget about it, right? You see, the context of read here means also to see the vision. Read it and then see it. See the vision. Not with just our physical eyes, but with our heart, with the eyes of our heart. We have to see it in our spirit. It has to become a part of us. If we're going to run with it, if we're going to take it forward. So, what does this running with the vision look like? You know, we see it in the physical, as when you say running with it, as maybe a jog or maybe a sprint. But it's more than that. Running is more than that. Sometimes it can look like this at times. Running with a vision can look like crossing a river of strong rapids. Sometimes it can look like crossing a desert. Anybody ever feel you're in a desert? There's probably some people here today feel like you're in a desert. Sometimes it looks like climbing a mountain. Gosh, I got to go all the way up there and over and then back down. Sometimes it looks intense. It looks like an intense emotional struggle. Sometimes the running looks like intense spiritual warfare, prayer battles. Sometimes it looks smooth, and other times it looks real rough. And sometimes it's in sight. We can see it. We can envision it. And sometimes it looks impossible. It looks impossible. We think, no way. You see, the running with the vision requires something. It requires supernatural faith. Supernatural faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen, the Bible tells us. The evidence of things not seen. Just as we're to walk by faith and not by sight, when we have a vision, we're to run by faith and not by sight. Run by faith. You see, the run requires trust. Trust in the vision. Trust in the God who gave it. And trust in those who He imparted it to. And others that run with you. It requires faith and trust. Running requires faith and trust. And running is not necessarily a jog, and it's not necessarily a sprint. But oftentimes, it's an endurance race. It's a long run. It's a life run. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. I want to share something with you. Morgan, do you have that sheet I gave you? Would you ask Taylor to run it up here to me? I didn't bring a copy. Isaiah 61. We're looking at prophets today. And Isaiah, thank you, dear. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Now, this little part of this passage of Isaiah is really, he's speaking two things. There's a separation there. He's speaking of the coming of the Lord. He's prophesying the coming of the Lord, but he's prophesying here both the coming, the first coming that has already happened when Jesus first came to earth and did ministry here and fulfilled his purpose for that time here. But he also speaks of the second coming, the coming that the church is waiting for, looking for. And I'll show you where the break is. If you look in verse 2, it says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Stop. Okay? That's the first coming. When Jesus came initially to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those bound, he released his ministry on earth, the first coming. And then right there, he stops. He says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Isaiah doesn't stop here, but he goes on to say, "And the day of vengeance of our God." He's speaking of the second coming, when the judgment will take place, when Jesus will come, and everyone will be judged according to his word. Okay? So there's two things there. But what I want us to look at is that first part here. Because that applies. Do you understand that as the reason I took you and shared that with you in Corinthians was that this was written as examples for us today. For those that will come after us, for those that came before us, not just those at the time it was written in those preceding years. It was written for way ahead, for eternity, until the Lord returns. And so, if you were to look in Luke chapter 4, Jesus confirmed this because he read this prophecy from the scroll when he went into the temple and he got up. And he read it, and he read this prophecy, and he stopped. This is where he stopped. "And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then the scripture says he closed it, and he stopped there. And he went on to say, "Today this is fulfilled," which meant, "I'm here. This is my first coming. I'm here for these things, to release the captives, to set people free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Why didn't he go on and say, read the rest of it, "and the vengeance of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of the Lord"? Because that was not yet to be fulfilled. That was not his appointed time yet. That appointed time is still coming. Do you see that, what I'm saying in Scripture? You make a note, Luke chapter 4, and you go read about that, and you'll see that's where he stopped. The vision's for an appointed time, God's appointed time. And so I believe Isaiah, this passage is in, and you can jump down and see some things. I believe these are God's vision for the church that Jesus came and began the fulfillment of at his resurrection, when he was raised from the dead, to release us from captivity once and for all. Once and for all. You see, the Israelites kept going back. He'd set them free, they'd go right back to captivity because of their corrupt, evil, sinful nature. And so God said, this has got to stop. This is not working. And he knew the answer was Jesus. And you see, that's what we need to grasp as part of the vision. He came for us, so it's a done deal. On the cross means done deal. It's finished. His last words, it's finished. And so we just have to embrace the vision. And so I want to share with you our vision that God gave over 13 years ago. It was before the church was actually opened and founded, but just before that, but as he was preparing us for it. And I believe, I'd never noticed this until recently in studying this passage, that I think there's a lot of parallel in the vision he gave back in 2004 to Karen and I, to this scripture in the scriptures in Isaiah 61. So I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to see it today. And I think we'll have it on the screen. Here's the vision, and it's on our website. We publish it. By the way, if you weren't able and you didn't make our discovery class yesterday, when we have another one, I want you to be there because I believe it's important. We cover all of this and break it down from top to bottom. But this is our vision that he gave back in 2004. We have a vision for a church that is not normal. A church that is not caught up by the world, but is changing the world around it. We have a vision of people being freed from negative influences, impossible situations, and a weak, faithless, religious existence. We have a vision of people changing from acting out worship in church service to living out worship in everyday life. We envision a church not led by men and their ideas, but a spirit-filled church being led by the wisdom, the power, and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God. We have a vision of people so in love with God, that love overflows into the communities around them in such an abundance that it creates a flood of people seeking to find the source of that love. We envision a church unified by the Spirit of God, empowered by that Spirit, and focused on the common goal of leading others into a relationship with Jesus Christ, teaching them to love Him, to serve Him, and to lead others to do the same. We envision a church where everyone can come as they are, but no one leaves the way they came. We envision a church totally committed to establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth until Christ returns. And that's our belief, our hope, and our prayers for Heart Cry Chapel to fulfill this mission, to fulfill this vision that God gave us in 2004. And as I read Isaiah and the prophetic words, and as Jesus repeated that prophecy in Luke pertaining to himself, He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. You see, he's not speaking of prison in a sense of jail. He's talking about the prisons that people live in every day of life, the prisons they place themselves in, the prisons they let others place them in. And I believe that's the vision God has for this church, is that those things are released, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for grief, for mourning, the garment of praise when your spirit is heavy, to put on the garment of praise when your spirit's heavy, because it will release the heaviness. Amen. So that God's people will be called trees of righteousness, flourishing, growing, bearing fruit, living, alive. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, being planted by him, being planted in him, being planted in his house, being planted in his vision, so that he is glorified. Amen. That's the vision. That's the vision. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for vision. I thank you for the vision you've given to this church so many years ago. I thank you, Lord, that it's been a long road. It's been a road of ups and downs. It's been a road of sometimes rough, sometimes smooth. God, you know it's been a road of turns and changes. It's been a road of mountains and valleys, raging rivers. It's been a road of spiritual warfare, a road of tough times and good times. Lord, you know it's been a road of faith. It's been a journey of faith. It's been a journey of trust. A journey of walking by faith and not by sight. A journey of running with the vision and trusting you to fulfill it. So God, we're thankful that we're seeing the vision fulfilled in your appointed time and not ours. God, we thank you for the wait. It's been hard. It's been real hard. But we thank you, Lord, because we kept running. Your people kept running. Because the vision was in our hearts. The vision was written. It was plain. And so God, we thank you today in the many ways that you're fulfilling this vision. It's coming to fruition. And we just want to thank you today. I want to thank you for these people sitting here today. Many, many who are a part, who have been running with the vision. Thank you, God, for those who are beginning to run with the vision alongside others. Thank you, Lord, that it was worth the wait. It was worth all those things you took us through. It was worth all those things you used to teach us, to plant us, to grow us. It was worth the faith, God, growing in us through the good times and through the tough times. And it was worth trusting you, God. I'm thankful that we trusted you, God. Even when we couldn't see, we trusted you because we knew. And by faith we knew. And by faith we ran. And by faith we run today. And by faith we keep running with the vision that you've given us. I pray, God, that I pray that all of us would see the vision. See it in our hearts so that it becomes a conviction, a part of us, a part of who we are as believers. I pray, God, that we would run strong. We would run hard. We would run fast with a vision. And all the while that we do that, we would only do it through faith and not by sight. Not by our own understanding, but with trust and by trust in you. Especially when we encounter things we don't understand or we don't agree with or we just don't get it. Help us, God, to run with faith and to run with trust. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't understand spiritually who you are, I pray, God, that your Spirit would reveal you to them. I pray your Spirit would reveal themselves to them. And that they would know that you are a God who is rich in mercy, that you make us alive in Christ, you bring us out of the death of our transgressions and our sin, and it's by grace that you save us. I pray, God, that if there's someone here today that doesn't understand how or why you love them, that your Spirit would reveal that to them right now. That they would know that you're the God who loves. You love us in spite of us. You love us because you created us. You made us. And you knew us even before we were born. And so I pray, God, if there's that person that's sitting here and says, God, they say to themselves, God can't love me. God, help them to stop believing that lie. Help them to start believing the truth, to know that God does love them and he cares about their life and he wants them. He wants you to allow him to love you. Help them to believe that Jesus died on the cross for them, that you raised him from the dead and to give power over the sin in our lives. And that death and that resurrection from the grave shows God's love for each one of us, no matter where we are, no matter how we think, no matter what we believe. Help them to know today that God loves them. And so, Father, we thank you again for vision. Your vision. Vision that is life and breath. And peace beyond imagination. Peace that penetrates all darkness. Peace that penetrates trouble. Peace that penetrates heartache. Peace that penetrates the things that hurt us and that hold us. Help us, God, to believe those things. In the strong, powerful name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision today, would you take that connection point out and just check that? Or if you have a prayer, there's a way that we can pray for you. Would you just write it on the back? Drop it in the offering bag when it goes around, or take it to the welcome desk if you're visiting with us today. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings. Hey, I didn't even have to say it. It's offering time.